All the kids going to Sunday school, follow Jesse and Jeremy. Go that way. Go that way, little Jeffrey. Oh, you see that? He stopped and let the little girls go before him. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. I taught him right, didn't I? Yes, that's my little Jeffrey. But anyway, you know, today I want to talk about something that it affects all of us. You turn to the book of John 6, please. And let me ask y'all something. Who of you would trade gold and diamonds for rocks and pieces of wood? Valuable gold and diamonds, pure gold, top of the line diamonds, that you would trade it for rocks and pieces of wood. Y'all would? All right. What about money? What about the money in your pocket? Would you trade it for a rock and a piece of wood? Bring your money here. I got a rock for you. Nobody in their right mind would do that. And we had two of them back there raise their hands. Nobody would trade something valuable like that for something invaluable, would they? If you're in your right mind. Yes. You know, we got some, we question some of ours, but praise the Lord. But anyway, John 6, and I'm going to start in verse 28. When you get this, amen. I'm excited about this here. You know, as I was studying this here, I'm excited about this word here because I think it will minister to each and every one of us. And the word of God says, then said they unto him, who's the they? His disciples, him, Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that you believe on him whom he has sent. Not go out and knock on doors, not go out and preach and teach, not go out and give stuff to people, which is all okay with that. But he says, in order to do the works of God, the works of God, he said, believe on him who he sent. Believe on me that God has sent me. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? That we may see and believe thee. What doest thou work? They didn't get it. They said, well, now, show us a miracle. Show us a sign. How many of us look for signs? God, if you're real, I need a sign. You know, when I first got saved, I was like that. I needed a sign, Lord. Am I doing the right thing, Lord? I need a sign. You know, I remember that I was up at the park and I was doing something. This is freshly saying. I said, Lord, if you want me to do this or don't do this, I need to see a deer. I'm up at Thompson Park. And the next thing you know, three deer walked across the front of my car. Now, once again, this is early in my walk with the Lord. I don't need a sign now. I don't need a sign because I know my God is true. I know my God is real. I know my God loves me. I know my God wants the best for me. Not the good for me, but the best. Good is the enemy of best. Don't settle for good. Always go for the best. Then it says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said, and verily, verily, whenever Jesus said verily, verily, he meant listen, listen. Truly, truly, I say unto you that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That bread from heaven that Moses, that you saw, it came from heaven from my Father, not from Moses. Let's not get this wrong. This came from my Father, not Moses. God used Moses for that. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now remember this, verse 33. This is very important. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want this bread of life that comes down from heaven. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Oh, can you imagine what they thought? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let me read that again. This is so powerful. He says, I am the bread of life. Remember, we had the bread today for communion, which represented his body. He says, I am that bread of life. And he says, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You also have seen me and been around me, but you believe not. You followed me and you still don't believe. You're still asking for a sign. You're still asking for proof of who I am. After following me and seeing my miracles, seeing me heal the sick, raise the dead, open up the blind's eye, heal the lame. You've seen me do this, and yet you still don't believe. Then he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Just like we will not cast out anybody who come through these doors of these churches, he says, everybody that the Father gives me, everybody. And once again, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you didn't choose him. He chose you. You just said yes and amen, and I surrender. I surrender. And then it says, if I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I'm not coming to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I'm not doing what I want to do, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. There's something I say all the time, and I read it every morning. I tell you this all the time. And it's the thing. It says, Lord, give me what you want me to have. Lord, give me what you want me to have, not what I want, not what you want me to have, the church or the people. But Lord, I only want what you want me to have. Lord, give me what you want me. And the second part of that is, I only want what you want me to have. You see, it's one thing to say, Lord, give me what you want me to have. Another one, I want what you want me to have. Whatever that might be. Whatever that might be, Lord, I want what you want me. You know, and you guys know that in the ministry that I deal with, it's 24/7. It's all the time. You know, it's all the time. And when I decided, you know, that to get this new knee, not beknownst to me that it wasn't my decision, it was God's decision. You know, he made it so my bones was rubbing on each other. You understand what I'm saying? Because God could have given me a new knee without this operation. I wish he had it, but he had a purpose for it. He had a purpose for me going through this. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, and I've been humbled so much these past few weeks. The humbling that God has put me in. I can't remember another time that I've been this humble. And I'm thankful for the humility and being humbled. You know, because sometimes we can get a little proud. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, let me go. Let me do. Let me see. Me, my eye. Me, my eye. God said, let me tell you something. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, Mr. Man. I'm in control of all things. So I'm going to set you down. I've been trying to tell you to calm down and get down, but it's going to be painful. Oh, maybe if I had obeyed God back then, I wouldn't have had to go through what I'm going through now. Maybe, huh? Have you ever thought about that? If we had done what God has told us to do back then, maybe we wouldn't have to go through some of the things that we went through before. But I'm starting to learn. When I hear that still small voice say, "Be still, sit down." Okay, Lord. But, you know, anyway, let's move on. Anybody know where I stopped at? Where? 38. "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Thank you. "And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all that which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should rise it up in the day of, again in the last day." He said, every one of you and me who God has brought, he said, "I will raise you up in the last day." How good is that? How good is that, church? Then it says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the man, that seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have eternal life, and I will raise him in the last day." There we go with that last, raise him in the last day. I can't wait for the last day, to when I take my last breath. You know, Paul says, it'd be good for me to go with you, but, you know, I know that I need to stay here for a little bit longer. It'd be good for me to go be with Jesus. It'd be good for all of y'all to go be with Jesus. But he said, I want you to stay here because I have a purpose and a plan for you right now. But one day, I'm going to come and bring you to myself. And the Jews then murmured at him. Now, why would they murmur at him when he gave that good news? I'm glad you asked me. Because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph?" We know his daddy. We know his daddy, Joseph. And father and mother we know, and Mary. We've been knowing him ever since he was a little rascal. We know his mom and his daddy. Now he's telling us he's the bread of life and he's eternal life. All of that is what? Unbelief. Once again, they had followed him. They had seen what God had allowed him to do. And now he's telling them, you need to be a part of me and me be a part of you. I am the bread of life. They're like, no, because we know your mama and we know your daddy. How can this be? And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not amongst yourself. Complain about not amongst yourself. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. There we go again. That's three times. Raise him up in the last day. Raise him up in the last day. Raise him up in the last day. And it says, it is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh to me. Remember when you got born again, it said the Holy Spirit will come into you and will comfort you and will bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has said. That's what this is saying. It is written by the prophet that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is in God, he that seen the Father. Verily, verily, here we go again. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Do you believe on Jesus? Do you truly believe on Jesus? And if you do, you need to stand that if I believe Jesus, if I've surrendered to Jesus, that when I take my last breath, I'm going to be with Jesus. He says, where I am, you will be also. Do we believe that? Amen. Or do we just say it? Once you come to a place where you know that you know that you know that Christ is in you and you in Christ, that's when you can walk with your head up, your shoulders back, not in pride, not in arrogance, but in confidence that I belong to God and he belongs to me. I am somebody. I'm a king's kid. That's who I am. I'm royalty. My father is God Almighty. My brother is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is my comforter and my teacher. Oh, I am somebody. You need to understand who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. And when you do that, that's when we can walk in power of righteousness and hope. We talk about having It'll come to me in a minute. Let me move on. Revival. We're talking about having revival. 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 We all want revival, right? But is your heart set for revival? Is your heart righteous for revival? Or do you got stuff in you about somebody or about something or just that and other? Revival's not going to come when we got all kind of stuff within us that's not right, church. We need to do better. We need to do better in every area. Loving one another, loving God first, and loving one another. And all this discourse and stuff within the church, we need to stop it. We need to go, yes, we're going to have disagreements. Absolutely. But we need to be here to honor and love and respect one another. Whether you agree with one another or not, we need to love. I agree to disagree. I'm going to love you. I don't agree with you, but I'm going to love you anyway. We need to be there for one another, church. And I believe that revival is coming, but it's not until we get our hearts right. Notice I said we need to get our hearts right. Then it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, who believeth on me, I am the bread of life. Here we go again. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate the bread that came down from heaven, but they're dead. But this bread I'm telling you about, which is my body, you will live for eternity. I am the living bread, came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The bread that I give is my flesh. He says, I am the bread of life, and the bread represents my flesh. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can this man give us his flesh? See, they missed the whole, it went over their heads. All of that that Jesus was talking about, he had explained to them. I am the true bread, not the manna that your forefathers ate, but you need to put on your spiritual ears. See, they're thinking with natural ears. How can I eat this man? He's telling me to eat his flesh. Now, once again, that was Old Testament cannibalism. No, you don't do that. But in their minds, they're thinking, this don't make sense what he's saying. I followed him, but this don't make sense. I don't know if Jesus, what Jesus been doing, but this don't make no sense what he's talking about. And listen to what it says. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise him in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am him. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. That's what he's talking about. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. I am that bread from heaven. Eat of my flesh. Be in me, and I will be in you. You know, when you go home today for dinner, and your wife or whoever it is put the dinner out on the table, right? Do you just stand there and look at it? So, oh, that looks good. It smells good. Do you just stand there and look at it? No, you eat it. Looking upon Jesus is not going to benefit you. We have to abide in Jesus. See, that's what they were doing. They were looking on Jesus. They were following Jesus for different reasons. But when you come into an intimate relationship with Jesus, you're all in. We've been doing a Bible study on Wednesday night about intimacy. Not dating Jesus. Not being engaged to Jesus. But being truly in love with Jesus and all in. Intimacy. You know, we talked about, you know, intimacy. You know, when I ain't going to pick on nobody this morning. When Denny and Mary Steele, when they got married, they didn't say, Pastor, come on the honeymoon with us so we can have prayer meeting. Did you? Didn't invite me at all. They didn't invite anybody. Why? Because they needed to spend that time together. Intimacy. And that's what we need to do with God. Intimacy. Spend that time with Him alone. Because so many times there's so many outside influences and there's things we have to do. Absolutely we do. But the most important thing to do is spending time with God. That intimacy. Being in Him and Him in me. And then it says, well, where am I at? 57, all right, thank you. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. He that eateth me, even he shall live. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna, or dead. He that eateth of this bread shall never live. He's trying to tell them, that bread that your father ate was a physical bread. What I'm talking about is something different. I'm talking about spiritual here. And we need to get our heads, church, out of carnality and out of the world and into the spirit world. That's what needs to happen within our church. There's so much carnality and worldliness that goes on in the church. Not this church, other churches. Because everybody up in here is spiritual, right? Okay. And then it says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Then it says, many therefore of disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? Listen to what it says. Many therefore of disciples. Now, disciples, that has several different meanings. We know that he had disciples that followed him. But also disciple can mean those who came along with him also. They followed him. Some follow him from the back. They were in the back. Some followed him in the middle. Some followed him up front, was right there with him. Some followed him from afar. Some would say, well, are you going to go follow Jesus today? Well, I don't know. I'm a little tired. Oh, my eyebrow hurt today, so I think I got eyebrow-itis. I don't think I'm going to be able to follow Jesus today because my eyebrow hurt. Nobody in here does that. Other churches. That commitment, that devotion. We committed to do other things. What time the game come on today? 1 o'clock, Gary? 4? 1 and 4? Well, Giants, that's all he wanted here to see is Giants. Yeah. We're committed to doing that, aren't we? Men, women, committed to going to Wally World, committed to do all kind of other stuff. So why is it a lack of commitment for doing things for God? You seek what you desire. You desire what you seek. You seek what you desire, and you desire what you seek. What do you desire, my beloved? Now, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. And it says that, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I don't understand that. We can't do that. And then this is what Jesus says. And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmur at it. And he said to them, do this offend you? Does this offend you by what I am telling you that you have to do? You know what he was telling them? Believe on me. That's what he was telling them. Believe on me. Get real with me. Have an intimate relationship with me and quit following me from afar. Quit being stragglers. Quit being tag-alongs. Come into the fold. Come and have a personal relationship with me that I know you and you know me. Because one day when I stand before the Lord, He's going to say one or two things. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. We're going to hear one of those two things. Can't be no, well, wait a minute, Lord, you know, let me redo it. Ain't going to be no redos. It's going to be right now. And then he says, listen to what he said. He says, verse 6-2, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he be before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He just told him right there, what you're talking about, what you're thinking about, whatever, is worldly. It's not of the Spirit. He says, I speak unto you, they are spirit and are life. So what you're thinking about, what you're murmuring about, is not correct. You have to come to me in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. Be there, but there are some of you believe not. But there are some of you believe not. For Jesus knew in the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew all the people who followed him day after day. Praise the Lord, Jesus. God is good, Jesus, all the time, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I surrender all, Jesus. Do you really? Do you really? Because I know your heart. You have been tagging along maybe for years, but you had not got that close, intimate relationship with me. You've been tagging along. You've been coming to church for years. You've been reading your Bible for years. Then it says, and he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except it was given to him by my Father. Here we go. He done said that four times. To truly be a follower and a disciple of mine, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me, not from way a distance. Peter followed him from a distance when they came and arrested him, didn't he? The rest of them scattered. But Peter followed him, but he followed him from afar and then denied him three times from following him from afar. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. What? 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 They had been following Jesus. They had been seeing all the miracles that he has done, showed the love and compassion on all the people. But it says, because they didn't understand what he was saying, it said that they walked no more with him. These are those who follow Jesus. The Bible says there will be a great falling away in the last days. You know, this church would be packed and probably doing two or three services if the people who have come through that door throughout the years have stayed. We've seen a falling away of a lot of our people. A lot. They came, they was excited. They did a lot of stuff for the church. They, you know, just a lot of good things. But for some reason, they fell away. So you say, well, how can you be a disciple of Jesus and follow away? I'm glad you asked me. Because Jesus said in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, he said, they went away from us because they never was with us. They followed along. They were in the prayer meetings. They were in the Sunday meetings. They were in the Bible studies. But they really wasn't with us, you see. They followed. They followed. But the reason that they're not with us now is because they never was a part of us. Oh, let that resonate in your spirit, church. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. And then this is what he said. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, this is so powerful. He said unto the 12, will you also go away? Now many that heard his teachings, saw his miracles, walked away from him because it was something that he demanded of them, that you abide in me and I abide in you, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. They didn't have the understanding of what he was saying. Instead of going, say, Jesus, what do you mean by that? That don't make sense to me. Instead of them going to do that, they had little meetings in between themselves. Instead of going to the person and asking them for clarity, they had little meetings amongst themselves. They said, you know, this, we can't follow this man no more. This don't make no sense. It's a hard saying. And he asked the 12. He says, will you also go away? Now notice, he didn't say nothing to the many that was leaving. Hold it. Wait a minute, y'all. Hold it. Why are y'all leaving? Don't leave the church. I'll give you a position. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that about you. No. He let them go because that's what they wanted. And he knew that. He knew that there was not a true intimate relationship. They didn't want the heart of Jesus. They wanted the hands of Jesus. You see. And when the saying got where they couldn't understand it, they all walked away. And this is the good part. Then Simon Peter, old Simon Peter, put his foot in his mouth. Simon Peter always saying something, ain't he? Old Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter. And answered him, said, Lord, this is one of the most profound statements in the Word of God. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? We're not going back into the world. We're not going to and try to find another Messiah. Listen to what he says. He says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. Not only do we believe, but we are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How powerful is that? We believe and we are sure. See, believing, I can say, well, I believe that it's going to stay sunny outside all day. I believe that, but I don't know it for sure. And you don't either, do you? But when we're talking about the things of God, you take it beyond belief and you know it. I know in Christ. I'm taking that belief out of it, you know, and that word belief, when you look it up, you know, it's about knowing. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know that I know that I know that there's nobody else I want to be under but Jesus Christ. I've tried it. I've tried to be this and do that and do this and the other. But when I come to you, Jesus, I know that you have the words of eternal life. I know that you're the only one that can satisfy me. I know that you're the only one that I trust, and you're the only one that I will follow. I know that. I don't believe it anymore. I know it. Listen to what he said. This is so good. It says, and we believe and are sure. I love that. They could have left that out of there. But he wanted to let you know that you can be sure that you in Christ and Christ is within you. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you the 12 and one of you is a devil? And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that he would betray him, being the one of the 12. Listen to what he said. Have not I chosen you 12? He chose Judas. He knew Judas would betray him. Judas was fulfilling the prophecies. You see. He chose Judas, and he knew Judas was going to betray him, but he had to go through that for you and me. For you and me. I'm going to share something with you that I've shared before with you, you know, and you know, I'm your pastor, absolutely, but I'm a man just like everybody else. You know, I have thoughts and feelings and things, you know, but when I remember that my niece, she was 15 years old, and she was back home, and she was starting to get, you know, to kind of branch out a little bit more than she should have. And me and my sister, Kathy, we said, well, maybe we'll bring Dominique up here with us. You know, she can stay up here, you know, and stay out of inner city. Beautiful young girl, 15 years old, you know, but she was caught in a culture. She was caught in a inner city living. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And so when I was talking to her, whatever, and she was sending me pictures, I said, Dominique, I don't want to see no little pictures with your hand all up on your hip, and you know what I mean? And you wearing them little tight pants. And I said, you come up in here, you're gonna put on some dresses. Mammy made dresses. Burlap wool sack. No. You ain't gonna be wearing that type of stuff, you know, up in here. But to make a long story short, you know, her dad says, well, you know, because her mama just passed not long ago. My sister, she had passed not long ago. But and I remember at the funeral when I gave the altar call for my sister, she was the first one. She was the first one that ran up there at her mama's casket and got on her knees and prayed the sinner's prayer, came into the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the first one of the family. And I remember that. But anyway, I got a call. We can't find Dominique. And so I started praying. Just like that phone right there. Got a call, can't find Dominique. And a few hours later, I got a call, hysterical. We found her. She's dead. She had been raped, 15 years old. She had been stabbed. They poured gasoline on her and burned her body at 15 years old. I said, Lord, how can you let this happen to this innocent child? How can you let this happen to my niece? I've been serving you all my life, as long as I've been a Christian. I've surrendered to you. I've sacrificed. How can you have this happen, Lord? I was at a crossroad. Was I going to walk away or was I going to continue? I don't know how many of you have ever been that you've been praying for somebody. They were sick or injured and they died. Lord, where were you? I've called out to you and they still died. I think all of us have been somewhere in that proximity, or you will be. And we have a choice. Am I going to follow him? To whom shall we go? If I had made the decision to do what I wanted to do, I'd have went and found him or those who did that. And I wouldn't be standing up here preaching today. Trust me with that. But God said, no, young man, you follow me. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. He's doing life without parole. And it took me, I'm just going to be honest, it took me quite a while to pray for him. I looked it up on my phone here day before yesterday. You know, all the things that happened. They showed pictures of him, how they arrested him. And it took me a while to pray for him. But I have been praying for him. What I'm saying to you is, you know, you might have had something happen in your life that you say, this is a hard saying. This is tough for me to go through. You know, it's hard for me to go through this, Lord. I don't understand why you allowed this to happen in my life or didn't happen in my life. But just like Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And some of you know, I had a brother and sister die within 3 months of each other. And on and on and on. I can't tell you the family members that I've lost that I prayed for. But God chose to do His will and not mine. Was I angry? Absolutely I was. I ain't gonna lie. I was angry. You know, and when I have that anger in me, you know, you do things that you shouldn't be doing. You do things that you shouldn't be doing. But I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit kept me. The Holy Spirit kept me. And I'm so thankful for that. Some of you might be in here this morning, might be mad at God. I don't know. Because of something He did or didn't do for you. I don't know. But once again, to whom will you go if you walk away from God? To whom will you go? And I'm going to tell you something. There's only one other that you can go to. And He's sitting out there waiting. And that's Satan. To whom will you go? We must receive Jesus. We must trust Him, believe Him, have faith in Him, partake of Jesus. If we feed on Him, we will have everlasting life. Some went away from Jesus. Listen, a lot of them went away from Jesus, but the 12 drew closer. I love that. Remember I told y'all when I used to get a whooping? I used to get a lot of whoopings. And what they would do is they would hold my hand and they'd take the strap or the stick and they would beat me with it. And I would try to get away. You know, I'd try to run, but they'd hold my hand and you know, the distance. Come here, Vera. Come here, Vera. Get up here. Okay, you've been a bad girl. Now, hold my hand. Now, I'm getting ready to whoop you. So what are you going to do? Didn't I tell you not to? Yes. Now, do you see when she's trying to get away how good I can whack her real good? You see that? As long as she's trying to get away from me, I'm whacking her real good. But if she would move closer.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
I love you.
I love you too, but I'm going to whoop you.
I'm sorry for whatever I did.
All right. But you understand what I'm saying? Whenever, whatever it is, we need to draw closer. We need to draw closer instead of run away. That could have been a deciding point in my life and ministry when that happened to my niece. When that happened to my brother and sister, you know, and so many others. And we all go through that. Some of you have lost. And my son, y'all know my son, he passed away of a drug overdose. I got that call at 3:30 in the morning. You talking about a gut punch. A gut punch when you lose a child. Some of us have lost children. You lost spouses. You know, you lost, you know, parents or whatever. But does that draw you closer? Or does that have you go further away? Because that's going to happen. That's life. And God allows things to happen for a reason. Remember when Jesus, they said, you know, Jesus said, who do they say that I am? They said, some say you're Elijah, some say Jeremiah, some say a prophet. And He says, well, who do you say that I am? And who answered? The same Peter. You are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. You are the living Savior. And He says, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. But my Father in heaven, you see. And it's the same thing with us with the spiritual ears. When He told these people, I am the bread of life, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, it was spiritual. How many times that God speaks to us in spiritual things and we miss it, or we don't understand it, or we just shut it out? I don't know. But I'm saying to you today, if you're here this morning, and maybe you've been following Jesus at a distance, you've been curious, you want to see signs and wonders. You have things that you're asking God for, but you've been following afar. You haven't been truly committed. Whenever that there's a battle, and one side of the battle, out of the foxhole, this comes up. What does that mean? I surrender. That means that I no longer do what I want to do, but I'm surrendering to you, and you do with me as you will, Lord. You do with me as you will, Lord. I'm no longer my own. All I want to do, Lord, is what you want for me. And you know what the Lord wants for us? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before the Lord. To obey Him, to love Him. That's what He wants. So if anybody here this morning that you've been kind of straying a little bit, you're not as close to Jesus as maybe you were before, or as much or as you want to be. I want to be close, Jesus, but some of the stuff, it's hard for me to take. It's a hard saying. You know, we had a guy, I'm going to say this. We had a young man at Bible study here. We were talking about intimacy. And he made a statement about being with a young girl, a young lady. He says, Pastor, is that a sin? He didn't realize fornication was a sin. Some of you might not realize that. But having sex outside of marriage is a sin. Or having sex inside of marriage with somebody else is a sin. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people ain't going to tell you that. But I'm here to tell you. You know, and I at first it shocked me. You know, it shocked me. You know, I never know what might come out of his mouth, to be honest with you. If you had Bible study, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You just don't know what might come out of his mouth. You know, but after I got over the shock of him saying that, I said, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I said, because some people might not realize that that's a sin. And you're doing things. Listen, you're doing things, coming to church and not realizing that it's not right. I'm saying that to say this here. If somebody's out here that's doing things that you might not think this, that it's okay, but deep in your spirit, you know that something is out of order. I don't know. But I'm saying to you once again, if you want to get closer to Jesus, if you want to have that intimate relationship with Jesus, and you know that you've been straggling behind, you can come today and you can confess with the 12. For whom shall we go to? You have the words of everlasting life, Lord. I'm not going nowhere. I'm only going to get closer to you. That's what my desire is, to get closer to you. So if that's you this morning, you want to get closer to Him, the altar's open. The altar's open for you to come and get closer. Say, Lord, I'm coming today to eat of your flesh and to drink of your blood, because I want that intimate relationship with you, Jesus. I've been following you from afar, or not following you as close as I should be. How about that? Not following you as close as I should be. I'll follow you if it's convenient, if I need something, if I want something. We'll wait for you, brother. What I love about this church is the transparency. The transparency. You know, because everybody up here, I believe, is saved. I believe everybody up here, you're not saved? Yeah, I know you are. Is anybody up here that have any doubt about your salvation? Anybody? Okay, good. So what you're saying here today is, I want a closer walk with you. I want to be closer, Lord, to you. I don't want anybody or anything that puts a gap between you and me. Today, Lord, I'm declaring. Today, Lord, I'm declaring that I'm going to get closer to you. He says, draw closer to me and I'll draw closer to you. So that's what they're doing here today. They're drawing closer to God. He says, bet your bottom dollar if you do that, I'll go closer to you. Your relationship with me would be 24/7, 365. So, Lord, I pray, Father God, for each and every person that's standing here before me. And those who are sitting down that might want to be up here but didn't come up. Lord, we all want a closer relationship with you. We want that intimate relationship with you, Lord. Lord, when we stray, we just ask, Father God, that you would just draw us back in with conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let nothing or no one come between us ever again. Lord, I will serve you whenever, wherever, however, unto death from this moment on. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, and the church says,